Brothers and sisters, at this time, I introduce to you the teacher of the ages, Pastor Israel Abel Hawkins.
We could let that go on the rest of the evening, but there were no elders chosen, I'm glad to see the great turnout on the other offices that was taken. Keep trying, hang in there, okay? The elders, you may have your seats or stay here, either one, but I'm going to talk to you for a while, so you might ought to have a seat. We are reaching out to the world, brethren, and we're doing our job. I know that Yahweh is well pleased because he showed us today he was, and I'll bring that to you in just a little bit. I want to show you first a cookbook we're creating. One of the best I've seen, if not the very best. We improve every time we bring one of these. I would have had it to where I could show you the whole thing, but you'll have to get a copy of it to see it. The cookbook is from recipes from all over the world. You thumb through here, you see Oki, you see Mediterranean, you see Israeli, you see the Yadim, spicy, plain, you got it easy to cook, from 3 to 25 ingredient recipes. It's all there, but it's simple and easy to put together, explains itself, and it's not ready. It's supposed to be ready this feast, but Judge Kalia kind of, no, she's doing well. It's me that's holding things up, me and the proofreaders. Anyway, get your name on the list for these and we'll get them out to you. And by the way, you can replace the recipes in them. They're all kosher. You can add to the recipes. It's made in a book to, where you can add the recipes or take them out and change them or whatever. I want you to know we are doing our jobs. This Israel Hawkins said prophesied message, "Listen to me, all nations," are not mere buzzwords. That's climbing. Now this is going to news medias. And of course, the other day when I reported to you, it was something like 80,000 news medias that was carrying this article. It's up to 111,882 right now. Yeah, climbing about 1,300 an hour, they told me, 1,300 to 1,400 an hour. Israel Hawkins said he's revealing solid teachings on the two trees in the Garden of Eden in new publication this week. That's up to 131,000 now. That was 2 weeks ago. Israel Hawkins says the Feast of Tabernacles, this was put out before the Feast of Tabernacles, is a week away and explains significance in newsletter this week. That's up to 100. Well, you might say 160,000. It's 159,960. So we're doing our job. We're reaching out, and it's there for the people And we got 2 billion people studying this right now. Yahweh willing, they're preparing to get here. We know that many of them are. Some are being held back. They're trying to hold them back, but they're not going to put two for long. Yahweh is stronger than their gods, and Yahweh is not a god. let's see, where do we go from here? Oh, I know what we did. I read these articles this morning, and we got over to this judgment, and I wanted to show you this judgment, I want you to turn with me to Psalms 91, and this is starting to come to pass now, and people are being saved in other countries that you wouldn't, you know, that most people are not finding out about, but we're hearing about it. We're hearing about it from time to time that Yahweh, it seems like the ones he's calling and working with, there's a way for them to get out, and they're trying to get here at this time. But in Psalms 91, here's a special promise to you in this time period when Yahweh has actually opened the door for his message to go out, where we can see the wars are coming, we can see the destruction that is coming. The United States is going to remain strong up until the very end, until Yahweh's work is completely done. And then, of course, things are going to go down for the United States also. He says, Psalms 91, he says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Now, I brought that out in the Mark of the Beast, that this shadow of the Almighty is keeping the laws of Yahweh. And if you remember in Daniel 7, this is what the beastly system, the fourth beast, that is four beasts, these others didn't disappear, it's just that one stronger took them over. And of course, the fourth beast was the improvement, or the really nasty one, the nastiest one of the bunch, most evil, cruel, as Yada is described to be, the lion who takes over the whole world, and in ruling it instead of guiding it or teaching it the laws of Yahweh. And you remember Yeshua said, you know, this is not going to be the kingdom of Yahweh. It's going to be led and taught, not forced or not forced into anything, but taught, and you've got to decide for yourself that you want to be with Yahweh. But he said, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide, but only under this shadow." The shadow, as Colossians shows, is the feast, the new moons, and so forth. Don't let anyone take that away from you, the apostle said. It's a shadow of Yahweh from things to come. So they will abide. That is, they will be protected. We say to Yahweh, "You are our refuge and our fortress. You are our Father. In you we will trust. Surely he will deliver us." Now, we know that. "Surely he will deliver us. Deliver you from the snare of the fowler, the noisome pestilence," that's the disease epidemics. "He will cover you with his feathers." I've explained all of this before, so I'm not going to do it again. I'm trying to get down to a verse to show you something else. "And under his wings will you trust. His truth will be your shield and your buckler." That's what's going to keep you intact, keep you to serving Yahweh, keep you doing your job. Your job is going to get more intense as the more people come in, because you're going to have to teach them, guide them. keep the camps clean. By the way, when I mentioned this to the priest during sprinkling, I mentioned what was going on and that we needed help in the camp. And you should have seen the crew of men. Kohan, Toby, I don't know where he got all the men, but they were cleaning this campground up and fixing these leaks, covering the uncleanness, and it paid off. I'll show you just in a little bit. You will not be afraid. Don't be afraid. He tells you, don't be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrows by the day. That's a war by days, nor of the pestilence. That's the disease epidemics that walk in darkness, nor of the destruction that waste at noonday. This is speaking of the great burning. 1,000 will fall at your right hand. 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Now that's the words of Yahweh, and he fully intends to carry it out. The gates of hell is not going to prevail against this house established by Yahshua Messiah and high priest over the house of Yahweh at this time. Only with your eyes you will look and you will see the reward of the wicked, those who break Yahweh's laws. You'll see it, but it won't come near you, because you have made Yahweh your refuge, made Yahweh your refuge, made the Most High your house, that is the house of Yahweh. No evil will befall you, or any plague will come near you. This morning, when I got to my desk, the usual voice was singing to me. Yes, I get it on Sabbath morning. His name is Fuller. Fuller Hawkins. wonderful man. He was singing the songs of the kings, and I had him sing it twice sometimes, so I could. I know I wrote the song, but I still haven't got it. I haven't spent enough time on it to where I could sing it to you right now. But anyway, he was singing these songs, and all of a sudden, I said, "Praise Yahweh," and he did too, to let me know he heard me. And in a little while, he just sang a couple of songs, I think, and then the singing stopped, and I thought he had gone. I thought, well, something must have occurred, and then I heard a choir singing. Yeah. And it wasn't just one or two or three, it was a big choir. And I got up and raised the window, and got up from my studies and raised the window. And lo and behold, it was out there in the parking lot right under the window looking up at me. And they started singing. It was a beautiful sight. The devotion is much like it was here just now in the sanctuary. And I praised Yahweh for it. Their praise and loyalty and honor that they're showing to Yahweh. And where they were standing, was a bare place where there was no traffic. And it looked beautiful. And when they got through, I said, we need to get some cameras and do this again and have it where we could put it behind some pictures. And while they were doing it the second time, which was just a few minutes later, and it got light enough for a camera, while they were doing it the second time, the women called me, and they wanted to come out and sing too. I think they was trying to outdo the men, because they had about double the amount of women as we did men. So they came out then after the men left and lined up, and we got pictures of this that we're going to put behind song. But the beautiful part of this all, right after they got through, the women got through singing and left, Judge Tana called me and said, "Look out east at the rainbow." Well, I looked at it, and I said, this is, I think, what we're looking for. And I called, went to making calls. I got a hold of David and then the great Kohan Benjamin Krause Hawkins. And he hadn't seen it yet, but I said, well, grab your camera and run out there. I think this is what we've been waiting on. And so I went back to work, and a little while later, there's several pictures. I did see the rainbow. It was a strange-looking rainbow. It wasn't really a bow, but it was the four colors. And we got pictures of it, and I told Benjamin a while ago I'd like for him to come and show it to you. He blew the pictures up to where you could see it, and where he can also explain the numbers. I called to get in the numbers, and he did too. And the numbers that when the picture was taken, the pictures were taken, the date. I called him and told him what this date was. I said, you need to bring this out too. He's going to do this in 5 minutes now, he promised me. So anyway, if you would, he would come forward, and I'll step aside here and give him the opportunity to show this. This is a marvelous thing, brethren, that Yahweh has shown us. You're going to marvel. Come on forward, Benjamin.
Okay, praise Yahweh. You may be seated. 5 minutes, wow. Okay. Now, you remember this morning, and by the way, the slideshow this morning, please get a copy down at the South Office, the Women's South Office. We'll have a copy for you. We mentioned about 2:16, meaning light. And of course, you remember, what is the light of Yahweh? That's right, the laws of Yahweh, right? That are being made crystal clear at the house of Yahweh, right? The laws and the prophecies. So today, let me just start out just by showing you this. Today's date, October 23rd, 2000. And I'm just going to give you one of the definitions, that top one, 41, I believe that's 28. And notice it means a multitude, crowd, great number, assemblage, a throng, congregation. And it's from this word here. And it means a fullness. It means full extent, to fill, full quality, to fill up or complete, entire number or quantity, maximum, full extent. Remember all the things that were spoken about this morning. Remember about the fulfilled time? Time no more? Time accomplish? And it also, some other, I'll have to get to that maybe another time, but there was a lot of great meanings in today's date in the gematria. Now the women, well, first of all, the men, they sang this song, We Thank You, Yahweh. And believe it or not, it's from 3050, it's 3036 from 3058, Yada, and it means, we will praise you, we thank you. Okay, it's all the scriptures match what the name of the song was. And the men began their song at 7:50 a.m. down below pastor's window, which means chief shepherd, a head shepherd, means a shepherd or feeder or protector and ruler of a flock of men. Remember the chief shepherd, we have Yahweh, we have Yahshua, but we have our shepherd here, right? Kohan Israel Abel Hawkins, who feeds us. I don't know about you, but I ate more food this feast than I've ever eaten. Woo! Also, the women, I'm just giving you a few of these. I don't have a lot of time, but they sang Yahweh's Tiny Kingdoms. And in the Greek, it means a pair, unity, yoke together, team. And in the Hebrew, it means crying, distress, outcry. Remember the microbes, how they're crying out? Okay? And there's other numbers associated with that, but I've got to move along. And they started their song at 8:03. We've seen this number a lot. And it means safety, security, reliability, exact truth. That's what's taught here at the house of Yahweh, right? Psalm 91, safety and security. Only here at Yahweh's house is where you'll find this. Now, can we have the first slide, please? Because in the morning,
The first picture that was taken before the rainbow, do we have it up? Okay. And I want to show you that it's a kind of a goldish colored cloud. If you'd go ahead and show the next one, we zoomed in on it a little bit. And you're going to see there's an assemblage of people there in that gold cloud. It looks like about three men, okay, sitting side by side. So we looked up 7:46 because that's when it came. Can you show the next slide to show the time that was shown? It was at 7:46 a.m. when that came out. And here's what it means. It means a ruler, beginning, rule, kingly or magisterial, from the beginning, the initial starting point, what comes first and therefore is chief, foremost, priority because ahead of the rest, preeminent. It means, there's that word corners again. Corners, as in like chief or extremity. Elementary, principalities, rule, rulers. And everything that Pastor's been talking about this feast, notice, it says beginning, corner, estate, first estate, magistrate, power, principality. Okay, that's in that picture there. Now, look, can we go to the next picture? Okay, there should be one before that. There should be one before that. Okay. Now, let me show you. Go ahead and back up, please. Back up, please. Okay, now go to the next picture. In the next picture. Next picture, please. Picture after that, right there. You good? Stop there. Okay, you notice there in the middle, you're going to see a rainbow in the sky. That's the one that the great head judge Tana called Pastor about. And then Pastor called me. Of course, I was busy on a few things. And he told me, hey, you need to get out there right now because I think this is the sign that Yahweh's sending. This shot, it shows the rainbow up there in the middle. But if you'll notice, do you see something beaming right there? Okay, can you go ahead and show the next picture? Okay, do y'all see that beaming light there? Do you see the rainbow color in that light? Okay, now here's the interesting part. That light is shining exactly where the singers had been standing, the men and the women. Okay? Now, I got to get these in real quick. If you could take that slide down, if I could show this just a little bit closer right here. If you could take the slide off. Okay. Notice that. You see that? Beaming down from heaven. Beaming down from heaven. You know, you can't go wrong when you get out there and get that picture when Israel Hawkins tells you to do it, right? He knows. Yahweh, this is Yahweh's servant here. This is the one sent by Yahweh. Now, let me get these numbers in so we can get him back up here. The first picture was taken at 8:23 of the rainbow, and it meant atomos. It's the Greek word atomos, like an atom, you know, the smallest of particles. And it means an indivisible part of time, a moment, a part of time that's too small to be measured. And it's the same word that's used in 1 Corinthians 15:52, where it says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we will be changed. Okay, you remember that one? And it means of time. It's talking about time, an atom of time. Okay? Now, let me get a couple more in here. 8:27 was when the second one was seen. And it means quiver. Remember the scripture that talks about Yahweh hid me in his quiver? Right? Pastor Israel Hawkins, the greatest teacher in the world, right? Amongst his teachers. Remember what quiver meant, hiding in his quiver. Okay? Now, it also means something else, but I'm trying to find that paper. Okay, so the beam of light, okay? Can you put the slideshow back up real quick? Because I want to show the time on that and get it on the record. Okay, now get the time. I think it's the next slide. It says 8:26 is when that picture was taken of that beam of light. And notice what it says. I shine forth, gleam, shine forth, appear white, bright. Okay? To see clearly. Clear as crystal, right? To discern. All the words you heard about this morning. And it also means, I got to get this one in. Well, get this. To beam upon. To beam upon. Coincidence? You bet it is. It's a coincident. When are we going to get that straight? It's beautiful, isn't it? But Yahweh's showing, Yahweh's with this work. This is the protected place. Stand in your place. And at this time, I'd like to turn it back over to the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kohan Israel Abel Hawker.
Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. I've never seen anything like that. But we're going to see greater things than that. I guarantee. Back to Psalms now, 91. And let's start with verse 11. For he will give his malachim. That should be messengers. That's speaking of the priest of Yahweh, the counselors in the house of Yahweh, the judges in the house of Yahweh. That's all included right there. Messengers, priests, priestess, prophets, preachers of the message. And then you go to, it says, they'll give their charge over you to keep you in the way, to keep you in Yahweh's way. That's what they're here for. They will bear you up in their hands, so you will not strike your foot upon a stone. That is, go the wrong way. That word stone there is meaning to build. It's like a plummet. If you're not a carpenter, you probably won't know what that is, but they use a string at the top of a tree or a building. They have a weight at the bottom, and it gives you a straight line coming straight down, not moving to side to side, so you can get exactly a straight line to set your two befores or whatever you're building. A plummet to keep straight. Well, of course, if you listen to what he's saying there, these messengers, judges, counselors, and so forth will keep you straight in line with Yahweh. This is used again by the prophet Jeremiah, I do believe. You will tread upon the lion. Well, of course, if you know who the lion is, he's sitting on seven hills right now. He's the tribe of Yada, who has the ruling staff, whose hand is on the neck of his enemies, and they're bringing them down. Surely you can see that right now. You know, all the Muslims killed, who they have deemed their enemies. That's the lion, the Roman Catholic Church or Vatican, divining serpent, and he's mentioned next, the adder, the serpent, the young lion, and the dragon, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, the dragon, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, Revelations 12:9, you will trample underfoot. Now that's you, brethren, in these last days. We're the ones that will bring them down. We're bringing them down right now. We're showing how they've failed. They've failed in everything they've done, every lesson they've taught. Everything they're teaching now is war, and it will backfire on them now. That's what we're doing. We're building up the house of Yahweh in the minds of the people while we're showing you what is going to take place because of their sins. Malachi 4 and verse 3 shows you they will be ashes under your feet. Yes, they're going to burn themselves up, and it's really going to be them too that do it. They're the ones that's bringing it about. Yahweh says, verse 14, because you have set your love upon me, I will deliver you, cause you to escape. I will set you on high because you know my name. Know my name, just knowing the spelling or pronunciation of Yahweh is not knowing his name. Let everyone who names the name Yahweh depart from iniquity. That's knowing his name. That's what it stands for, perfect righteousness. You have known my name, Yahweh said in Revelations 3:7. Now, speaking of you, he said, you've kept my word and have not denied my name, not ever. Even in times of deep trouble and distress, you haven't denied his name. You've stood strong for him. And I testify to that daily in prayers. You will call me. You will call me, and I will answer you. I will be with you in trouble. I will deliver you and honor you with long life. Yes, eternal life. That word there is actually eternal life. Now, in Matithya, Yeshua makes the statement, he's in this statement here, he's showing what this prince that he just got through talking about. He says, the prince is coming and I have nothing in common with him. And of course, he died later. He said to his disciples, I'm going to send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. They're going to kid you. Well, we have records of that in Fox's Book of Martyrs. We have records of 11 of the 12 disciples being killed, murdered, many of them in Rome. Kepha was hung upside down on a stake because of his request. He didn't feel worthy. He didn't feel worthy to be hung right side up like the Savior. So they hung him upside down, honoring his request, gladly, probably. Well, this is their attitude about people. But that greatly impressed me, that Kepha was willing to die. You know, none of those people were prophesied to live and carry the work into all nations. There was a prophecy about a people that would, but none of those people, all of those people was given the knowledge and understanding. And Yeshua says, if you're willing to die for it, don't fear those who can kill the body, but fear Yahweh, who can destroy both soul and body, and serve him. Serve him. Don't serve these people that can only kill the body. Well, of course, they were sent out to die. They were sent out to prove that they would rather die than to accept a life of sin. They had choices you could make, and they gave the people, even in Germany, they gave them this. They looked for people who would not eat pork. They looked for people who kept the Sabbath and people who kept the feast days. And those the people they arrested, and of course, they took all their wealth. They took everything they had, even the gold out of their teeth or silver, whatever it was they had their teeth filled with, they took it from them. They took their shoes and clothing, and they put them in gas chambers and fiery furnaces and so forth to get rid of them. They also used them as guinea pigs. These were Yadim that were doing this, brother. The Yadim were killing the Yadim, and they didn't even know it. they didn't realize that they were killing the very ones that Moshe said that had eternal life waiting on them. But they killed them off thinking they were doing their gods a favor. And of course, they're still serving those gods, the Yadim are. But the people they killed were their brothers, brothers and sisters. But they worshiped or tried to worship Yahweh. They were not the house of Yahweh. They were never promised protection. The only reason we're promised protection right now is to get this work done. He's got to keep us alive to do this work. And of course, that this time, the high priest will never leave us. He won't die. He won't change his mind. He won't be teaching one thing one day and something else the next. You can fully depend on what he says, and he will bring us through this whole thing. In 5 and verse 18, Matithiah 5 in verse 18, Yeshua shows, and I was quoted this before, but he shows that this is the scheme of Satan right here in this time period that we're in right now. And of course, she's still raving that mankind is not fit for this kingdom that Yahweh is wanting to put together, that they're incapable of bringing about peace to the universe. She's the accuser. She's been cast down now. And Revelation shows that she's making war, that she's actually making war against the house of Yahweh members. Here in Matithiah 5 and verse 18, look to verse 17 first. Do not even think that I have come to destroy the law and the prophets. This is the law and the prophets. Get that. The law and the prophets. Don't think that I've come to destroy them. I've come to actually establish them. Now look at verse 18. For truly I say unto you, unless heaven and earth pass away, unless Satan and her sons are able to destroy heaven and earth. The heavens that involve the earth, like the sun and the moon, those are the two major planets. She hopes to destroy all of this. It wouldn't hurt them. Those heavenly beings would not be hurt by such disaster. There are other things that hurt them, but not this. Sin is hurting them. And Satan will eventually die. Yahweh shows that in Isaiah, through Isaiah. But if you notice there, he said, truly I say unto you, unless heaven and earth pass away, these laws are not going to pass away. I'm not going to destroy the laws, he said. Unless heaven and earth pass away, these laws are going to stand. And they're going to improve the universe. And of course, that was Yahweh's plan as he was building the earth, as he created the earth. And when his sons actually rejoiced with him when he created the earth, and then when they learned his plan, then they turned against him. In Yochanan 5, Yochanan 5. Yochanan 5 and verse 27. Now here is what Yeshua has qualified for. Satan tried to buy him off. Satan did all kinds of things. He knew the life he was living. He knew what he had to do while he was living, and he did it. He knew when his time was up, and he knew that he was going to die. He knew how he was going to die. He knew he was going to suffer at the hands of men. If you remember, that's the one thing that David, King David, prayed to Yahweh, don't let me suffer at the hands of men. The Saddam Hussein. If you remember what took place with him, it was shown on the news. There was another one before him that they took that wouldn't give in to the Vatican. And they ran things into his body, the people did. He would have died before they killed him, just in a little while, if they hadn't went ahead and hung him. But anyway, this is what David knew too. He knew the cruelty of mankind. He knew what Satan can put in their minds, and what you're seeing in today's world. We see what the apostles, the way they described it. There's no love, only for self. That's all they can see. They don't care about the millions or billions of children right now that are being born with diseases or that is being killed in war. They don't care about it. What they care about is killing. They want to kill them, get them out of the way. These are their enemies. They think they're their enemies. That's what Satan has put in their mind. Well, of course, that's mankind's character today that we've shown, that I was trying to show you today, and there's more on that, and much more, but I was trying to show you that this is a character, the characteristics, the qualities, and the characteristics that is brought forth in these four living creatures, as it is translated, which is the quartet today, the people that they govern and their plans that are being carried out right now in that fourth part of the earth, in and around the great river Euphrates, which will soon turn to war. But now here is Yahshua. Yahshua says that the gates of hell will not prevail this time. When he sent his disciples out before to do the work, he said, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, and they are going to kill you. And that's exactly what took place. But here in 5 and verse 27, he says, and has given him, talking about Yahweh giving Yahshua doing the talking, and says, Yahweh has given me authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man. He's the Son of Man. He's not a son of an angel. He's not the son of a heavenly being. He's the Son of Man. And if you believe the scriptures, it tells you who is Yahshua's father. It was a man. No, it wasn't the Holy Ghost. It wasn't Casper the friendly ghost. It was a man. And his name is given in the Holy Scripture. And he overcame the world. He died for our sins, and he qualified for this right here, to execute judgment for the house of Yahweh, judging you, and actually standing up for you against Satan. That's the reason that Satan was cast out. If it hadn't have been for Yahshua himself, Satan would have never been disqualified, because she's saying it can't be done, that mankind can't achieve these goals that Yahweh has set for them. But he can, and many have down through the centuries. If you go back to verse 24, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my words, the laws and the prophets, believing Yahweh who sent me, has everlasting life. These are the ones that are practicing the laws of Yahweh. And of course, don't mark out the fact that he says, unless you repent, you're going to perish. Unless you repent and be converted, my blood won't cover you. Don't mark out all those facts with this one scripture. But believing, if you believe it, you're going to practice it. Yes. If you believe these words, you will practice them, and you will have eternal life, and will not come under condemnation, but has passed from death to life. Truly I say to you, the hour is coming now, and here's your great resurrection that Yahshua has for his house that he is preparing you for. If you don't overcome, The microorganisms will never obey you. And the microorganisms is what brought about the first flood. That was before mankind was created and put on earth. The microorganisms brought about the second flood also. And then Yahweh said, he put the rainbow, and that's what I was hoping for today, the rainbow. Oh, that was beautiful. It started before daylight, and it ended up right at daylight, and here come a rainbow beam right down where the singing. I didn't ask for that. I didn't ask anyone to come and sing to me, but they did. In honor of Yahweh, and of course I enjoyed this too, but but this was in honor of Yahweh that this occurred, and this rainbow and the light come right down at that pavement. You could see it right where they were singing. A beautiful sight. Truly, truly, I say to you, the hour is coming now, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of Yahweh. The dead will actually hear the voice of the Son of Yahweh. The dead are going to hear. There's two things given to you there in that sentence. The dead are going to hear first, and then they're going to come together as a body. The dead is going to hear the voice, and then notice it. Notice what the verse says. The dead will hear the voice of the Son of Man. Remember how his disciples, they're saying, we don't have any money to pay the taxes. And Yeshua said, go down to the Sea of Galilee and cast a hook in the water, and a fish will bring you some money. If you're a fisherman, you think what a wonderful thing that Yahshua could do when Yahweh gave him that power. A fish is going to bring you some money, take the money out of his mouth, and go pay the taxes. And that they did. On the first hook, they just threw it out in the water, and the fish was waiting on them. Now, the dead, this dead body not put together, it's dust. Yahweh could, from these stones, these very stones, bring forth people to serve him. From a stone. From the dust of the ground, he formed man by commanding microorganisms to do certain things, lining it out, setting it by law for them to do certain things. He wanted an ear on each side of the head, eye on each side of the nose, and a nose to breathe through. And all of this is done by microorganisms. This is a fantastic part, brethren, that we see that no one else has ever seen before. We know how Yahweh created the earth. In fact, it is dust. It's made up totally of microorganisms that are all doing their jobs. The earth itself. Atmosphere too, mankind, those that are dead, those microorganisms can hear as well as that fish heard Yahshua Messiah. Those, that dead body, yes, is turned back to dust and would never live again unless Yahweh commanded it, or he gives judgment to someone else authority to execute this judgment that will put that body back together as a living being. Oh, what a beautiful thing. Well, anyway, the voice. The dead will hear his voice, the voice of the Son of Yahweh, and those who hear, those microorganisms that hear, will actually go back together into and form that human body as it was to begin with, without the sickness and disease. All the sickness and disease is gone by then. and without the sickness and disease, it will be put back together. For just as the Father has life in himself, just as the Father commanded the dust that formed Adam, just as he commanded this microorganisms to form Adam, the dust of the ground, to form Adam, he has this authority. He's the one that created the microorganisms. He's the one that takes care of them. That's the reason I said this year, this is the seventh year, I said, let those microorganisms rest. Let's go to extremes to let the microorganisms rest. Let's prove to the microorganisms that we will keep this law, praise Yahweh, that we will keep this law that has never been kept before. I don't know of any time that law has ever been kept. They made a flimsy excuse of keeping it from time to time, but it was never kept by anyone except maybe at Galilee, up around Galilee in Israel. That's the only time that they even came near keeping that law. And I said, us go a little overboard. There's no reason why we can't. Yahweh has blessed us double this past year. Praise Yahweh. The wheat we ate today, the whole wheat that we got ground and waiting on us, we got a full year's supply of that and more than a year's supply. There's no reason why that we even have to do anything to the ground. Now, if you want to raise a garden with mulch or something like that, you can, but don't disturb the soil. If you've been gardening in a place or sowing land or, Ray, if you're farming in any way, halt it. Don't do it. Don't let the microorganisms sleep. Let them rest up, because we're going to be using them here very, very soon. So just as the Father has life in himself, so he has given it to the Son to have life in himself. That is authority now. It comes from authority here, but it also comes with trust of the microorganism. It comes with trust that microorganism must trust, and Yahweh tells them who they can, or they would never trust him. Yahweh is the one that makes the final decision, and that's the reason he's trying you right now. He brought you here to try you. He didn't bring you here to make you rich. He doesn't care a thing about riches. He'll give you all of that later. You'll be the richest people in the universe later. I'll guarantee you that. You'll be the richest people in the universe. Donald Trump can't do that, but I can. Yahweh can. For just as the Father has life within himself, so he has given to the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute this judgment because he is a son of man. Do not be astonished at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice. You know who his voice is right now? Well, it's you too, you know. It's also you. You know, you're the voice of the Yeshua right now, our high priest, every one of you. You can run him down by running your brothers and sisters down or your counselors or judges down, or you can build up Yeshua as your high priest and keep building the house of Yahweh. 29, and will come forth. These people are going to come forth at hearing your voice. They will come forth, those who have practiced righteousness. This is not yada. There's no place in all the scriptures that holds up Christianity at all and lets them say they're fulfilling this scripture right here. Christianity does not fulfill righteousness. They do not practice the laws of righteousness. None of the world practice the laws of righteousness. Only the house of Yahweh. In the last days I will establish my house. My house will bring forth my ways. That's what we're doing, brethren. Every one of you here, you're a shining example to the world. And believe me, they keep track of you. They know what we're doing all the time. We didn't even have the post up on this billboard over here till they started people who don't even live out here. People who do not even live out in this area. But they already heard, hey, the house of Yahweh has some post up over there, real tall post. And then they find one of our men and say, what do y'all build? What's the house of Yahweh building out there? Of course, we never did tell them. We said, well, come by. You live out there. Oh, no, I live in Abilene. So the word is in all the churches that the house of Yahweh, and by the way, when they saw what it was, they went to saying they thought that was so beautiful. Well, try keeping it. It becomes even more beautiful. Well, they will come forth. Those who have practiced righteousness will come forth, will be resurrected in order to live. Now, there's a time coming when you're going to resurrect the others. There's a first and second resurrection. So there's a time coming at the first of the millennium, the ones who have practiced righteousness is going to be resurrected. And we're going to bring them up to date on everything we have done, all the work that there is set before us. We're going to bring them up to date on microorganisms also. I know they don't know about that. But they will live, and then we will use these people then, Yahweh shows, in Isaiah and Yeremia. He shows that we'll be using these people then to help us in the world to bring back those to teach people to stop war. They will live, and those who have practiced wickedness, that's 1,000 years later, when these are going to be resurrected, to be damned. Well, that even comes after 100 years judgment period. Even that. I can of my own self do nothing, he says. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I do not seek my own will. He says, let your will be done. Let your will be done. His disciples said, well, what about this James here? What's he going to be doing? Yeshua says, it makes no difference what James is doing or what I tell James to do. You do what I tell you to do. Remember those words. It makes no difference what Katie's doing or John Doe is doing. What your counselors tell you to do, what the judges who are in office tell you to do, that do. Do it lawfully, of course. I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. He's the one I seek. If I alone testify in my behalf, my testimony is not valid. All of Christianity is testifying in its own behalf. The only scriptures they have condemn them. All the scriptures that speaks of Christianity, of Yada, and the laws that he is bringing forth, condemns him and says and shows that the fire that's going to destroy them. Okay, we're in Yochanan. Yochanan 5. I want you to, with that in your mind there, and with your position, and in the way, turn over to Matithya 16. The scenario that Yada, the Yadim, have set up for this time period, the Vatican, the divining serpent, has set up to get rid of everyone who is not a Catholic. Now, Malachi Martin did bring this out, and he said, you know, they're in hopes that only Catholics will survive this thing that's coming. So When that book was written, the plans were already in motion to carry these plans out. What we're seeing is in this taking place in and around the great river Euphrates, Yahweh showed us their plans before Malachi Martin ever wrote the book. We knew the plans. I wrote the book, The Mark of the Beast, and revealed these things before Malachi Martin wrote the book, The Keys of This Blood, and revealed these things. Yes. I never saw his book till that book, The Mark of the Beast, was written, long before it. Well, in here in Matthew 16, in verse 18, Yeshua knows the danger. He knows the danger of these last days. In fact, he told you that in Matthew 24. He says it's going to be the worst time ever in man's history. That's verses 21 and 22. And he says the sun is going to be darkened in our generation. The moon will not give her light. The stars is going to fall from heaven in our generation, in this generation that started in 1934. It's here, 2016. We have it. You're going to see it. Be ready for it. Start making your plans now. I don't think it's going to go till next feast, brethren. You better make plans to get back here if you got to go someplace else after the feast. Chapter 16 of Matthew, verse 18. And I also say to you, Kepha, speaking to Kepha, let's go back to verse 15. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Then Simon Kepha answered and said unto them, said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living Father. Yeshua answered and said to him, and son, this day have I begotten you. Remember, Yeshua was a grown man preaching the message of Yahweh when Yahweh said, this day have I begotten you. So he wasn't speaking of the begotten time of his, that he was begotten to begin his life. He wasn't speaking of that conception. He was speaking of the second birth, the second begettal, which comes from the laws of Yahweh, completely keeping the laws of Yahweh. That is with what he was begotten with, the laws that come from heaven. He was begotten with the laws of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. You are the Messiah, the Son of Yahweh. Yeshua answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon, son of Yonah, for flesh and blood only has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. My Father who is in heaven revealed this to you through the laws and the prophecies, of course. The law is the Spirit, Yochanan 6:16. Flesh is worthless, but the law, the Spirit of Yahweh is his law. Yes, 662. Yochanan. Let me turn there and read it to you. Yochanan. Yochanan 6, I think. And I think it's 62. 6:29. Yeshua answered and said to them, this is the work. No, that's not it. 63. It is the Spirit that gives life. Well, what is the Spirit? Yahweh told you 1,000 times before you got to this scripture what the Spirit is that gives life, keeping the laws of Yahweh. This tree of life, keeping the laws of Yahweh. Otherwise, you're going to die. Well, back to Matthew now. 16 and verse 18, he says, and I also say to you, Kepha, whose name means rock, that upon this rock, Yahweh unity, this is what's going to get you in. Unity with Yahweh. That's what atonement means. I will build this house. This house is you, brethren. This house is you, every one of you. And upon unity, he's building it. You won't find this anyplace else in the world. We're in total unity with Yahweh and Yahshua. We're in total unity with Yahweh because of Yahshua, our high priest. On Yahweh unity, I will build this house. Speaking of a family, the house of Yahweh, in the last days I will establish my house in the chief of the nations, not in Israel. The time is coming, he said, when you will no longer worship the Father in those hills, the hills of Galilee, or in Jerusalem. That's what he said, plain as day. The time is coming when he won't be worshiped there. He's going to be worshiped in another land, not even existing at the time Yahshua said that. Zechariah said it. Yahshua knew. He knew those scriptures. He knew it. The time is coming, he said, when the Father won't be worshiped here. And then tells you, seek his house. Seek the house of Yahweh and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. This family, the house of Yahweh, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Well, we're back to Psalms now, 91. Psalms 91. They won't prevail because you have the shadow of Yahweh upon you. Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23. When you leave here, I want you to leave here with these scriptures in mind. Jeremiah 23. All judgment has been given, that is, the judgment of the house of Yahweh has been given to Yahshua Messiah. He sits as your judge, he sits as your coach, your guide. Woe to the pastors that destroy the sheep. That's Yada. His first actions, that's the heads of Jacob. Is that Micaiah said, you heads of Jacob who hate righteousness. Look on down to verse 5, 23 verse 5. Behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that I will raise up to David a righteous branch. That righteous branch is me. I'm shown, praise Yahweh, starting in Oklahoma, the ends of the earth. He calls it that, born in the ends of the earth. He named me before I was born, then spoke to me through my brother, one-year-old boy. And when Dad asked him, what would he name me? And he said, Buffalo Bill Hawkins, and they all like to fell over because the boy couldn't talk at all. But he said it. Behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that I will raise to David a righteous branch. And a king, you see that? A king will reign and succeed and will execute judgment. That was the prophecy of Yahshua. This king of the house of Yahweh who says the gates of hell is not going to prevail this time. A king will reign with them, the branch with the branch. And judgment, execute judgment. That word execute means to perform it according to law. Execute it. Perform judgment according to set laws of Yahweh. And justice in the earth. Now this is his job, and his house is the one that's going to do it. We are going to execute this, and we're doing it right now. The pen is mightier than the sword, brethren. That is truth. He's given me a pen. In his day, this righteous, he's speaking of the branch. David is going to raise up a branch, and a king will reign. In his day, Yada will be saved. And Yisrael, that Yada will be saved, that's in Revelation 7, 12,000 will be pulled out of that tribe. 12,000. That's Yada that will be saved. In his day, Yada will be saved. And Israel will dwell safely. This is the name that he will proclaim to them. Yahweh is our righteousness. That's exactly what I've been doing. I've been proclaiming Yahweh is our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that they will no longer say, as surely as Yahweh lives, who brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Now, of course, this was Moshe. He brought them to Galilee, to the burning bush. That's the house of Yahweh. The light, the flame, the seven lamp lampstand, all of that. We are the seventh of that lampstand. This is the one that they never allowed to go out. Never allowed the light to go out. That it was a sign that the house of Yahweh would not stop in this last generation. Never end. And Yahshua said the gates of hell will not prevail against it this time. The children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but they will say, as surely as Yahweh lives, who brought up and led the seed of the house of Israel out of the protected place and from the countries where I had driven them, and they will dwell in their own land safely. Now this is a judgment that is prophesied for Yahshua. That's the judgment that he said that Yahweh had given him authority to execute this judgment right here. And the first thing he does is lead this 2 billion people. That's what this work is for, is to save 2 billion people that have seen and can testify to what sin brings and what is going on right now in that part of the world. Carrying out fully, that is completely, bringing into effect. This is the protected place. That's back to Psalms 91, the protected place. Remember that. We're eventually going to have to come to this protected place and never leave again. The work will come from this protected place. Yahshua will come to this protected place. He won't come to someplace else. He will come here. He will gather his saints to this protected place. That's what he shows. And they, from here, we will spread out to the entire universe. That's what this house of Yahweh was established for. It's been a wonderful feast, and I'm very thankful to Yahweh for this time with you. I would that you didn't have to go back. It could still start anytime. I know a lot of you have to go back to your different places right now. I think you ought to start trying to break loose from them and get ready to come here quickly, because things could shut down, travel could shut down, and the work is here. It's not there. Start planning on it. Make a way. Start trying to make a way to get this done. If you'll all stand, I'd like to have prayer with you. Our Father in heaven, whose name is Yahweh, this is Israel Hawkins, Father, your last day's witness, coming to you, Father, through Yahshua, our high priest and king over the house of Yahweh, coming before you, Father, with your whole house of Yahweh, your family that is gathered together in this place at this time, and those, Father, who are being gathered and being taught at this time in different places. We come to you, Father, on their behalf also, Father, We need your help, Father, daily, every minute of the day, in fact. We need your inspiration, and we ask for it. We ask for healthy minds and healthy bodies. We ask, Father, that you look down upon us with mercy and forgive us the things that had cut us off from you. Bring us back, Father, each time we fall. Bring us back. Give the counselors, the judges, the supervisors, the priest, the ability, Father, to solve the problems. We know that we can't solve the problems by ourselves. We need your help, and we look to it. We look for your help throughout all eternity. We will obey your voice throughout all eternity. We'll obey your orders and execute your judgments throughout all eternity, Father. We see that they're perfect. We see that your prophecies are perfect and your laws are perfect. It's easy for us to see that now. We see the damage they cause and are causing in the earth. But we need help, Father, to overcome our past experiences, the genes that we have inherited in our minds and hearts and bodies. We need help to overcome that. We need help in cleansing, the right cleansing. We need help, Father, in our daily lives and dealing with the problems that arise, that Satan, the stumbling blocks that Satan throws in front of us. We know that we're very close to the time when we will be caught up, and we're looking forward to that. We're looking forward to all of your work. We're willing to bring everything forward that you want us to and work wherever you want us to, doing the things that are pleasing in your sight, fulfilling your great plan from the beginning, your plan that you had from the beginning for mankind. We're not holding back in any way that I know of. We are your house. We're your sons and your daughters. And we ask your help, Father, and your closeness to us. We want to be close to you. Please protect those, Father, who have to leave the camp, the house of Yahweh and the land of Yahweh that you have established. Be helpful to them, Father, to give them the way back here soon. We bless you and praise you for a wonderful feast and a kosher food and we've had throughout the feast. Very tasty and very enjoyable. We've had a truly joyous feast with very little interruptions. We've cleaned the camp and cleaned the house, Father, and we appreciate the great sign that you showed us today, early this morning, the beginning of this last great day. We look forward, Father, to the time when we can be with you forever. We praise you and thank you, Father, for your kindness and your love and mercy. And we ask these things and give you thanks all in Yeshua's name. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
I love you!
I love you.